Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Sci-Fi Radio. My name is Brett Discutter, and today I want to be sharing with you a very important topic as we celebrate this month, Suicide Prevention Month, and just continuing the conversation about suicide and depression and mental health and mental illness, and bringing awareness and resources to people who are struggling with it, who are dealing with it, so that they can know that there is help and resources available for them and that they don't have to be struggling or suffering in silence with the challenges that they face. So today I wanted to focus on a series that I'm doing on lived experiences, and lived experiences specifically looking at how and what people living with mental health, emotional wellness challenges are facing and how those challenges are becoming, you know, greater things for them. So today we're going to be talking about life after a suicide attempt. I work with a lot of people every day who are dealing with the loss of a loved one. When we talk about suicide and we hear about suicide in our society, we usually hear about the loss of a loved one, the lives left behind, the weight of the loss, and how people struggle with the loss. I think it's very important that we focus also on the experiences of people who have struggled so much and who have gone through the distress and attempted, so that we can learn more of what that type of distress feels like, so we can better help those people who are struggling and in crisis and in distress. Life after a suicide attempt is not something that gets better or just simply because the person failed in giving up their life or taking their life that they're going to be okay. There is this perception within society that once the person fails, that they are going to be okay and that life will get better for them because their attempt failed. It is far from that in many cases. It is far from that for many people because of the fact that a failed suicide attempt now leaves a person to deal with a lot of questions for themselves, a lot of things that they have to ask themselves in terms of who am I? Why did I get to that level? How did I get to that level? And how can I then help myself as I move forward? Some people have no support system. And so their struggles after the attempt is so much greater simply because of the fact that they have to deal with all of this by themselves. If the trauma of hospitalization or going to the emergency room was also factored in, that also adds more distress on an individual. A person now has to ask themselves some serious questions as to why, how did I get to that point? How did that happen? Why did that happen? And so when you look at the distress that can come from life after a suicide attempt, many people never hear of or understand what those distresses are. And so you have some very callous response that's given to people who have gone through and are experiencing that loss. When they lose a loved one, people really talk about it in such a way that it really makes you wonder, really makes you think about this in a way that sometimes turns people off. But we have to also remember that not everyone has the strength to overcome the demons and the challenges that comes with facing the emotional distress they're going through, facing the ways in which they may have been rejected, used, abused, violated, facing the hard realities that in many cases the family that we've thought of and we've learned of or know we had or thought we had, now when times are rough and challenges are hard and the realities hit us, those family members are not there. The people who are supposed to love us and the people who are supposed to care for us are not there. All those things compounds even greater on someone after they have attempted and now they have to deal with the after effects of that. Sometimes you don't know what direction to turn to, where to turn to, who to turn to, how to even ask for help, what to say, what not to say. Sometimes the process of trying to get help can be so scary because people want you to fit within a certain parameter and fit within the scope of the time that your service is supposed to be provided and how it's provided. Life after a suicide attempt can be very, very difficult if not gotten the right help and the resources to overcome the distress that comes with being lonely, being ostracized, being judged, being looked down on by people who don't understand what the emotional conditions are, what the struggles are. It's very distressful. And so we need to be more empathetic. We need to be more understanding. We need to be more supportive. Because we never know what led a person to attempt to take their life or attempt to give up their life. And so the last thing that we need is more judgment. The last thing we need is for more people to be judgmental of that person and really demeaning and belittling, ostracizing, abusing, re-victimizing and re-traumatizing that person. But I also want to speak to the person who has attempted and lived out the experience. Because now that you have attempted and gone through that experience, you need to look within yourself and ask some very serious questions. But it's not the asking of the questions that's really hard. It's being honest with oneself. Being honest with yourself to say that, okay, this happened. I got to that point. I was hurting. I got to that point. I attempted. I did it. Now it failed, and now I'm here. And what do I need to do? How do I move forward? And what do I need to do in moving forward effectively? Because now I'm here, and I want to live. The lifestyle change is very important. Many times we're afraid of change. Many times we're afraid of what change will bring. Many times we're afraid of losing people around us. But sometimes that's the change that needs to be made. The change where we have to change our lifestyle and the people around us. The change where we have to say to ourselves, you know what, I don't want people around me who will look down on me or will speak down on me or try to make me feel worse than I already feel because I'm already dealing with all of these psychological issues stemming from the fact that I tried to kill myself. It's hard for us to make changes in our lives, but when it comes to emotional wellness, for us to be okay, for us to be all right, for us to be able to move forward in life effectively and successfully, tough decisions have to be made. Changes have to be made. The way in which we think, the way in which we act around people, the people who we consider friends, the people who we consider loved ones, the people we look up to the most and think that they will always be there for us, the people who sometimes we never even recognize that is there to support us, may be the ones who come to our aid and our rescue the most. Whenever I'm working with someone who has attempted and survived that attempt, the distress that comes from that is a deep human and emotional distress that's coming from in their core, because a lot of the truths and the realities that they have to face is real. Usually when you are home by yourself at night between, 10 o'clock at night to 5 o'clock in the morning, you have to face the person who you are and dealing with all the emotions that comes from that. And when we look at the fact that many people who are dealing with a broken heart, that's the time when we find them to be most at risk. When you ask yourself the question, who do you call? Who do you call when you're in that state? You need someone to talk with. You need someone to help you to understand what's going on. Who do you call? What do you say? What do you do? So everyone that's in your life and everyone that you're encountering and everyone that you're coming in contact with as you go through these struggles and challenges after a suicide attempt, you have to change your life. You have to change the ways in which you engage with people. You have to change some of the people who you consider to be friends. You have to look at family members a little bit differently because they're looking at you differently. If your family is not supportive, then you don't need to be looking for and meaning on and needing so much from them, because this is a time that you need now to focus on you, your health, your wellness, and your recovery. I have people who have attempted and lived out the experience, and they're turning around to still look towards the very same people that hurt them for them to have attempted and wanting to take their life. This is a hard reality that we have to look on, where many times some of us, because of the fact that we're lonely, we don't have the resources, we allow ourselves to stick to the lesser of two evils, where we would choose to take the abuse and choose to take the hurt and pain that comes with that just because we don't want to be lonely. We don't want to fall into the state of distress from just not having anyone around us. But my question to you is, if you have to be chasing after people and begging people to share that time with you and to support you while you're going through that, doesn't that add more distress to the distress that you're already going through? And with that distress, at what point will you draw the line to say, this is too much for me? Life after a suicide attempt can be very scary. It truly can. Because there are a lot of things that will change about the way you think, the way you act, the way in which people look at you, the way in which you look at yourself. There are many things that will change. But the most important thing that needs to change is you. After my last suicide attempt, I pretty much shut down my whole life, sat, reevaluated, reassessed, and just really cut out and shut down my whole life, because at that point I did not want to get back to a state of distress to want to hurt myself again. I did not want to get back to a state where I felt like I had to make a choice between being lonely and having people in my life who may care but not care enough. I did not want to get back to a point where I was so angry and so upset with people and the disappointments from people and the rejection from people and people not coming through for me, that it would have driven me more into distress than anything else. I had to start focusing on me. There were so many questions I had to ask myself. Hard questions, real questions, important questions. And as I asked myself those questions started revealing a lot of things to me about me, myself, how I look at myself, my life, how I look at my life, realities versus perceptions. Realities versus needs. Realities versus wants. There are very serious challenges that can come to us if we don't seek help or try to find the right help. Because after the suicide attempt, it doesn't mean that life gets back to normal. It doesn't mean that you can just snap your finger and everything is going to be okay. It doesn't mean that you can just push it off to the back of your mind and say, you know what? Oh, thank God I'm all right. I didn't die. I'm here. I'm just going to be okay. I'm going to move on. No, it doesn't work like that. Life can and will get better when we seek the help and be open and honest with ourselves that we need the help so we can heal and we can recover and we can be okay. Life can and will get better when we look at the true state of how did we get here, what brought us to this point, so that we don't have to get back to that point again. We don't have to go back to that again. We don't have to relapse into an emotional distress state that will force us to want to attempt or even want to give up the life that we have. Sometimes we look at our lives in such a negative way, in such a distressful way, simply because of not having the things that we want, simply because of being hurt, and we allow ourselves to sink so much into the emotional distress of the hurt and pain that sometimes we can't even recover from that. Cleansing has to come. But before the cleansing can come, we have to face ourselves and be honest with ourselves. We have to accept who we are and that we're broken. We're hurting. We've been abused, been victimized, been traumatized. I know people, I've worked with people, I have clients who they will tell you, oh no, that never happened to me, that didn't happen to me, but then why are you having sleepless nights because of it? Why can't you focus? Why can't you just move past whatever the trauma that you experienced was? Unfortunately, in our society, we look at trauma as major catastrophes and big events and things that really can be physical. But when we look at psychological and suicide and depression and emotional and all that, we have to look at the heart and the mind, things you can see, but things that are wrapped up through emotions. Life after a suicide attempt can get better if we take the time to get help and to understand why, to understand how we're feeling, and to understand how we can move forward. We can't be living in the same environment, doing the same thing that drove us into crisis and distress, and expect that we can stay in it to heal and recover from an attempt to ease the pain of that crisis and distress. The definition of insanity is doing something the same way over and over, expecting to have a different result. And that's the same thing and the same way we have to think about our lives after a suicide attempt. Sharing your lived experience and what you've gone through could help somebody else who's struggling and going through it. Sharing your lived experience will help those who are working in the field to understand more of what it is and what it means to go through the experiences, but also how to effectively help. Sharing our lived experiences to be open and honest with ourselves. So we're not afraid and ashamed of what people will think about us because we know who we are and we have come to an understanding of who am I and why am I still here. Don't be ashamed of who you are. Don't be ashamed of the fact that you at one point were hurting and you were struggling so badly that this was something that you thought about and something that you attempted and something that affected you and hurt you. Don't be ashamed of who you are. We as human beings at some point in our lives have gone through experienced something, have been hurt. Some of us are still hurting. Some of us are still struggling. Some of us are still going through the motions. But until we are honest and open and honest with ourselves about who we are, and that at one point we were just going through something. At one point we had an experience that really altered the way we thought about life and thought about people. At one point we just found ourselves in a bad situation, and unfortunately that bad situation, you know, affected us in ways that sometimes we didn't even realize was happening. Being ashamed of who you are is not going to help the process of healing or recovery. Being ashamed of who you are will not help you to really come to a good understanding of self so that you can move forward to be a better person. Being ashamed of you does not help the process of you getting help for the issues that you're going through. It's really sad that as a society we have put such negative stigmas and negative perceptions on what mental health is and emotional wellness for people, so that there are people who would rather suffer and die in silence rather than get the help. It's so sad when you really look at that. But it doesn't mean it has to be sad for you. My life enhanced and got better 10 times more than what it was before my suicide attempt, because I sat down and I faced the realities of who I am, who I was, and what I was doing, and the life I was living, and the people around me. I sat down and had a hard look at my life and made tough choices and tough decisions as to the people that I was keeping in my life, why they were in my life, who they are and what they represented. A lot of those people challenged my beliefs. A lot of those people challenged me in terms of just the fact that I was going through something. And even when I asked for help, or even when I even stated it, I felt like people were looking down on me more. People looked away from me. People were judging me because they were saying I should be stronger, I should have been stronger. But no one knew of the aches and pains that was in my heart. And I said to myself, I can't blame people for looking at me and feeling that way about me, because they truly don't know. I couldn't blame people anymore because they just didn't understand the circumstances of what my distress was and why I felt that way. I couldn't blame people anymore for not understanding. It was because I was able to sit with myself and make a real assessment of myself, look within myself, connect with a higher power of the purpose of my life, why my attempt failed and why I'm still here, and just accept that. It wasn't until I did that my life started turning around to be what I wanted it to be. Can you imagine coming out of such a distressful, traumatizing, emotionally wrecking experience now to be able to say that the quality of your life tremendously as a result of just now finding self and understanding who I am, why I'm here, and the power of now taking my lived experiences to create an organization of working with and helping people out of the same type of distresses that I've gone through. Can you imagine when now I'm able to speak to people and events and places where I am not ashamed of who I am? I'm not ashamed to say that I am a suicide attempt survivor, that at one point in my life, my situation was so distressful that I chose to give up the life that I have. Can you imagine how powerful it is to now not be afraid of myself, not be afraid of who I am, and not be afraid of how people think about me? Can you imagine how comforting it is when people now see you and they smile with you, and they smile with you because now they know who you truly are, not because you're pretending to be someone else, but because you have decided to say and to share about who you really are, because you're not ashamed of yourself. So now you have people who are around you who truly want to be around you because they know your true story. They know your true struggles. They will admire you because they said that you were able to overcome something that they don't think they could ever deal with or have ever dealt with. Imagine the strength that can come from just now reinventing yourself. That's what I took a lot out of for myself in what I went through, what I was going through. And this is why I'm saying to you, you can and will have a happier and healthier life after a suicide attempt if you choose to seek the help and take the time to connect with who you truly are, humble yourself to who you truly are, and embrace who you truly are. So that at the end of the day, you don't have to walk with your head hung down or not want to be in the public or not want to be engaged with people or not want to be us. No, you don't have to do that because now you have accepted who you are. You have connected with who you are. And you are the great person that you are. And ultimately, that's what you want to achieve. Ultimately, that's where you want to be. You want to be in a place where you're mentally and physically comfortable with who you are. Don't have to be afraid of what people think about you or how people think about you. You are comfortable in yourself and being who you are. When you get to that point and you start realizing that this is what my life is about and this is who I am, and now I can go out there and be a voice, a motivational, inspirational speaker and advocate, that is powerful. But that can only happen if we humble ourselves and accept the fact that this is who we are, this is the experience that we've gone through, and this is how we want to move forward with our lives and get our lives back to where we are in full control of it. Today, I am here sharing with you my lived experiences also because I want you to understand that it wasn't an easy road. There were a lot of sacrifices I had to make. There were a lot of people I had to cut out of my life because I needed the time to focus on me. I needed the attention to be on me. I needed me to be attentive to me. I needed me to be focused on me. I needed to really understand why I was feeling the ways that I was feeling. And the fact that after taking this step to do what I did, I really needed to understand it. The ideations don't just go away overnight. You don't snap your finger and all of a sudden now you're not thinking about suicide anymore. You're not thinking about, you know, reasons to die or reasons to not want to live anymore. You're not thinking. It doesn't go away. But once you change the ways you start looking at life and how you deal with life and with people and yourself, you start to realize that this is a good way of rebuilding your life. Many sacrifices. If you truly want the happiness and you truly want to get to where you really want to be, where you're happy and comfortable with self, many sacrifices will have to be made. So today, focusing on the lived experiences of
life after a suicide attempt, and really reaching out to those who have experienced, lived through the experience, to say, let's not be afraid or ashamed to be a voice of change. Let's not be afraid or ashamed to be a voice that's needed to break the stigmas of what society is and how society looks down on, you know, people who are struggling with emotional distress and who have thought of killing themselves or attempted to kill themselves, or the way in which we have people who will say that you have a mental illness because you attempted to take your life or give up your life. All these different stigmas and myths that are going around, that are circling around, sometimes can make it so much harder for you to be able to recover from the experience, what you have gone through. And that's why the things that you listen to and the people that you listen to and how you engage with people is going to be so important in how you heal and how you move forward, because of just how many people sometimes just don't understand. It's even in their best interest sometimes, or wanting to say the right thing or give comfort, sometimes things can come out of your mouth that can really make you feel worse. But it's not for us to take it in a bad way that they don't mean well. It's for us to use our experiences to educate them. It's a teachable moment. Teachable moment where sometimes when someone says something that really can hurt you and really make you feel down or depressed, is for you to say, you know what, that wasn't right, or I think there should be a different way in which you say what you just said. These are teachable moments that we can use to help to break the stigmas in our society and also to get people to be more understanding of mental health and emotional wellness and depression and suicide. Suicide is not always, you know, over time. That person doesn't have to be depressed or going through something over a long period of time, or even just having a condition. Sometimes life challenges, you know, you can wake up tomorrow morning with a number of life challenges right there in your face, and you have to deal with them. And while you're looking at them, you're saying, oh my God, this is overwhelming and this is too much. What we should be doing is saying, oh, this is too much for me to handle. I need some help. Let me reach out for some help. Let me try to get help from somewhere or someone. So I wanted to share that, and really just share that in a perspective of, let us as a society and as a community not put this negative look on the realities of what many people are facing every day with the challenges of life, because all of us at some point have reached something or somewhere in our lives where we just were like, oh my God, this is really serious. This is hard. Some of us have had support. Some of us have good family structure. Some of us have a good support system of friends. But there are many who don't. And life after an attempt does get very much harder for those who really don't have any support system, anyone to lean on, or anyone to even share what they're going through and the aches and pains of their heart. So ladies and gentlemen, I'll leave you with that today. I'll leave you with these thoughts that when we look at and understand how serious it is for a person who has survived a suicide attempt and how living after that attempt can be challenging, can be traumatizing, re-victimizing, emotionally distressful and hurtful, it is for us as a people to be more empathetic and come with a positive enlightenment that will help that person to move their life forward so that they don't have to relapse into those thoughts. From a society perspective, we need to be more supportive. We need to be more understanding that people are hurting and struggling with things that we don't know. We don't need to to interrogate them, for us to tell them the details of these things. We just need to respect them and know that they're going through some things that may be overwhelming for them and that they need help. And the help that we're providing is non-judgmental help, not prejudiced, not biased, no discrimination. It's just helping a brother or a sister who is going through something and just really needs that human connection, that human support. And that's from the society standpoint. From an individual standpoint, as a person who has survived a suicide attempt, you need to make some very important and serious changes with your lifestyle and how you look at yourself and what you do with yourself, how you engage with people. The people that you choose to stay in your life and your circle are people that you have to be very careful of, and you have to know them and understand them. Because you want those people to be people who, if at any point you really need someone to talk with and you need to reach out, when you reach out, they're not people who are going to tell you that, well, it's, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning and it's too late, you know, I can't right now, or they not even take your call. You want people in your life who will understand that the only reason why Brett's calling me at 1 o'clock in the morning is probably because he's really in a mood and he's really in that mindset and he's really going through that distress, and I will take the call and spend whatever time I can with him just to make sure that he's comfortable. If Jane is calling me at 3 o'clock in the morning and Jane, I know that Jane may have gone through something, I'm going to make sure that I even take her call just to let her know, hey, I'm here for you. You know, I know it's late and it's in the morning, but I'm here for you. You must be, you know, going through something while you call, so I'm going to make sure that I'm receptive to that. So if you don't have those people in your life that you know that you can make those type of calls to and people that you can open up to on those levels, then you have to be very careful of who you have in your life after a suicide attempt, because the emotional distress of what you're going through and all the things that are going to be coming at you, you want to make sure that the people that are with you and around you are people who can encourage you and support you so that you can heal and you can overcome. If that means that you have to make a choice to isolate yourself from everyone while you do your self-searching and soul-searching and self-healing and self-care, that's okay. As long as while you're doing it, you're healing and you're feeling better, that's okay. But if you're choosing to pull back and you're choosing to pull away and it's hurting you more and making you feel more lonely and distressed, then that's not good. We're here at CISFI and the Suicide Prevention Institute for anyone who is going through emotional crisis and distress. You're either developing a crisis and distress or you're already in crisis and distress. We are here for you to help and support. And we want you to know that we understand and we care. You can reach us at 917-651-1889. You can call or text. We're on social media. You know, we put ourselves in places where we know people are looking for the services and support. So we put ourselves there so you can find us and know who we are. So help and resources are available. You just have to be the one to really want it. And you have to be the one to reach out and open up for it. So thank you for listening. Thank you for opening your heart and your mind to understand that suicide is not a psychiatric condition. It's not a mental illness for everyone who attempts it. Doesn't mean that person has a mental illness if they attempted suicide. Just gets hard and it's overwhelming and it's emotionally distressful. And sometimes people just lose themselves to the overwhelming distresses and the overwhelming emotional feelings. And if we look at it that way, we can be a little bit more compassionate and understanding that we have people that are hurting and really need help and support. So thank you for listening. Stay tuned for more features on lived experiences for people living with depression, mental illness, mental health challenges, and just helping to promote emotional wellness. Until next time. This is Brett Scudder. Thank you for listening. Please share the archives so others can hear and learn from. what was shared today. Have a great day.